Welcome back to Second Take Movies, a podcast where we give movies a second look, second chance, second take, if you will. I'm your host, Preston Jenkinson, and joining me, as always, it's my co-host, Jake Twido.
Preston, bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang, it's a new year.
New year.
Not yep. New us, just a new year.
No way, brand new us, dude. I have a new shirt on. Well, it's not new. I've worn it in several episodes, and I feel new. Actually, I feel used and old, so never mind. Feel like a scumbag.
That'll happen. You know, 2024.
Or a teenage dirtbag, one of the two.
Different shit, same toilet, you know?
I heard ship, and I was like, we're going to take a ship out?
We are back with more Star Wars.
Didn't get enough.
And you know what? Let's just knock them all out so we can say that we've done them, you know?
Hey, you know what they say, Preston? And when I think about you, it's just turning on to me. I just can't get enough.
Yep, they do say that. Sure.
I don't remember what that song is. Someone will. Thank goodness.
So to get us on to said topic, we will start with the story. Because there's no opening. It's the second Star Wars movie to not have an opening crawl.
Loved it. Great.
But
first movie not to say Jedi either.
Yes. No Jedi in this movie.
No Jedi.
Board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in an epic action adventure that will set the course of one of Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. That tells you absolutely nothing.
It tells me nothing, and it tells me I enjoyed this. It tells me, like, I wish I saw more, whatever the crap they just said.
I would have done the story a little different, but it's a good time.
I know this is way early for this. Do you wish this was a TV show instead of a movie?
No.
Okay. I've been pondering it, of episodical adventures of Han Solo. I'd watch in a heartbeat, though.
What I feel that Star Wars and the movie business as a whole is missing is good mid-tier budget movies.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's either like some independent thing, or it's like a huge blockbuster that has to make $1 billion.
Which, I mean, I hate to say it, but thank you, Walt Disney Studios. It's your fault. I mean, that's...
I think this costs like $300 million or something. I don't know.
$330 million. And box office, though, was like...
not good.
$293 million.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere near $400 million. I don't know that much. It made $100 million.
Ron Howard says the most I've ever made on a movie.
I didn't realize Ron Howard directed this.
He was brought in after they fired / had creative differences with Lord Miller.
Which, another surprising thing related to that, they picked Woody Harrelson over Christian Bale.
Christian Bale was going to be in that role.
Yes.
Hmm.
And he was interested.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
How? I mean, Woody Harrelson was great. I'm not saying anything, but...
yeah.
Yeah. My problem... I know you got to get into some positives, some negatives, but my problem right away with this entire movie... which is not fair, is what could have been.
Yeah, you can't judge a movie off of what it's not.
Could have done. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not fair. So,
but wow, that's new. But positive review from Consequence. Michael Rothman said, "Whether we follow Han Solo through hyperspace for more adventures is up to Disney, but what we got here is enough to keep us coming back again and again. That's the best kind of Star Wars movie."
This is a dope Star Wars movie, man. I know we're going to watch, spoiler alert for everybody, we're going to hit, oh my gosh, why did I just blank? Almost said A New Hope.
Rogue One.
Like, I don't know. I kind of like these offset movies. I'm tired, you know. It's nice.
I'd love more of these, but like, again, with like the mid-budget. It doesn't have to cost $400 million.
Who's destroying this? Because I want to know what they think. Because I've got problems with this, but
there weren't a lot of reviews that were like, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen." So
good.
Alonzo Duralde of The Wrap says, while the movie ends in a way that's clearly designed to prompt further sequels, we don't get the prequel X factor that makes us interested in a character arc whose outcome we already know. Better Call Saul knows how to do this. Solo doesn't.
100%. I agree with that all the way. I could give two crap. I mean, like, actually, I'm saying it, and I'm like, oh, I disagree with myself already, but...
We're back to Jake, and he says something, and immediately is like, well, no.
Dude, this brain, dude, got like five guys in here. I don't know which one I'm listening to right now, you know what I'm saying?
God, that would be a terrible Inside Out movie. The inside of like a 30-year-old dude's brain.
Do you know how dope that'd be, actually?
This one... starts again, no opening crawl. Second Star Wars movie to not do this because it's not a main saga movie. It doesn't have to.
No opening crawl, but we're still gonna have opening text.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I'm gonna freak you out. I'm gonna do this. There we go. Okay. Nope.
Now you're in the left corner.
Yeah. Oh god. If you're listening, sorry.
Ruined everything. We're rearranging cameras.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. It just picks up right with Han. Right? We're in the streets with Han. He's in a speeder. Is he running away from somebody? I think.
He's running a job stealing something right away.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever the little coaxium is.
Yeah, he stole a little bit of coaxium, which is like, I guess it's like fuel in Star Wars.
Essentially, yeah.
This is around the time everybody was upset because where does fuel, when did everything start running on fuel in Star Wars? Why in The Last Jedi are they running out of fuel? We've never mentioned fuel before.
I guess in most movies we don't talk about how people are breathing and how they get oxygen. You know?
Yeah.
They just kind of live, so spaceships just run. Who cares?
I'm still a little bitter from all that stuff with Last Jedi.
There's a bunch of losers. Hey, if you're listening to this and you're a Star Wars loser, why don't you just go ahead and...
just shut up.
Shut up. Just shut up. Watch Star Trek, you loser.
Just
you nerd.
Enjoy it. Just why you don't have to complain about every little thing. Just watch it.
As my boy Hank Hill says, get another bottle, baby. A little dirt bottle.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Hey, here's what I'm going to ask you, and you might know this, and I could look it up. Didn't Han Solo have a like story before? In the Star Wars lore. Does he have a story?
In like the legend stuff, there was like several things, but
that was one thing I thought about this time. I was like, wasn't he already like an established background? Did this follow it at all? Because
there's some of it. They kind of created their own stuff. He's working for a giant lizard that lives in a worm.
Oh, dude, that spaghetti, man. Ooh. Let's hit it up the gate. Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
He's really good.
And I will say his counterpart, Donald Glover.
Awesome.
Good. Awesome. Don't enjoy him mimicking Lando at all.
He had to.
Didn't believe it. Didn't believe it at all.
He's got the charisma to do it, though. Like, to be Lando Calrissian.
I'm also watching Atlanta right now.
Mm.
I'm in the last season, which I watched the first two. I'm rewatching it with Logan. So we're in the last one. So I'm slightly, like, not tired of Donald Glover, but I'm...
I just finished... well, then you shouldn't watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith, then, even though it's really good.
I don't... I probably will watch it. Their stupid publicity stunt they did. Have you heard about this?
I saw that. Because Donald Glover doesn't ever post on Instagram or anything. And then all that stuff happened. And I was like...
Dude, interest.
Why Mark Norman was rushed off stage? Was for publicity for a TV show?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, thank you. That's my whole thing. It's like, I watched a Mark Norman clip and went... well, that just happened. Then I heard him explain it, and I'm like, oh, you got paid. That's cool. But
Mark Norman knew about it.
Ish.
Okay. He knew something was going to happen.
Somebody told him, for anyone listening, Mark Normand, stand-up guy. I think he's pretty funny. I enjoy him.
Him and Sam Morrell have a really good podcast called We Might Be Drunk.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He had a stand-up club in New York, and a guy walks on stage and it basically looks like a terrorist threat. It's just occurred, a bomb threat. So they usher him off. Well, it turns out the producers of the Mr. and Mrs. Smith show wanted to stage these viral marketing campaigns, these guerrilla marketing, to get hype. So they destroy his entire thing, which he knew something was going to happen. Like, something's going to happen in your set. That's it. We'll pay you for it. And he's like, okay, cool. It's a lot of money.
All right, yeah.
Which I found out later, like, it was at the end of his set.
Yeah.
So a little better, but still, just tacky. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had read an article the night that it happened and then saw it. And then, like, this week I saw Donald Glover posted, like, a Instagram story, something called Hi Hi. And then that's the thing that gives them orders in the show.
Okay. It's
called Hi Hi.
That makes sense then.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So Han Solo.
Han's working for a worm.
He's working for a worm. Of course, it goes bad. Like all things Han Solo, they go bad.
Do you think he should have had a love interest in this movie?
No.
Yeah. Because we already know.
Whole problem.
Everything. We already know that he doesn't end up with her.
You give him a mentor that betrays him and a love interest that betrays him. You don't need both.
Don't need both.
No, and the love interest, like you said, ditch it. Who cares, dude? Mm-hmm. No. Do Beckett. Beckett all the way. That's it.
I would have preferred, like, the relationship between him and his dad, because that's in previous things, that's been a storyline, is like his dad was a shipbuilder at one of the factories.
That's what I thought. That's where I'm like, you guys kind of had some plot stuff you could have done.
Yeah.
Instead of a love interest.
Like, and I feel like you do that, and then you have a scene where, like, his dad dies and he doesn't want to, you know, he wants to see the galaxy because he's Han Solo, and he steals one of the freighters, which is the Millennium Falcon, because it's Corellian.
Yep.
And he loses it to Lando in a card game, and then why not spend the rest of the movie trying to get it back? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's probably my biggest problem with this, is the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But I don't know. Yeah, same thing. I think I'm going to get... Hey, it's 2024. I'm going to get nerdier.
Go for it.
There's an anime called Outlaw Star. It's rad. The guy dreams of going in space, but he's afraid to go in space.
Mm.
Make that this. Like, his dad builds ships. He wants to go into space, but he's afraid to. But then, hey, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's, you know...
So he,
I don't hate this movie. I'm being this hard now. I really enjoyed it. So
he has quote unquote failed at his whatever he was supposed to do for this gangster worm, and he has a lady named Kira, played by
Emilia Clarke.
Emilia Clarke, she's fantastic. She's,
you just like her tits.
She's amazing. She's gorgeous.
She can eat human, raise dragons, and fly a ship. And that's what sucks. I thought she was a good actress in this. I thought she was good.
She's been in two things, this and Secret Invasion, that's been like, jeez.
Finish that. I finished it. I didn't like it.
That's not good. It was terrible. It was made during COVID, I can tell you that.
Yeah, because everyone... Hey, everybody, I'm joking, but everybody took those vaccines and lost their dang mind, right? They're all high up on the vaccine and making dumb stuff.
So they eventually they get... The gangster worm doesn't like it, and Han breaks a window and
I'm still here. Sorry, dog just pulled a cord.
Gotcha. Burns the worm.
Keep on going. We're good.
And they escape. and then they try to run to the port, I guess you'll call it, and they've got a little piece of coaxium that they plan to barter to get off the planet.
How would you bribe the person like that? Like,
because they knew they could.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
but then they get split. He makes his way out. She gets stuck. I think we knew, like, Han Solo was in the military there.
Yeah,
I think we knew that, right?
That's always been a part of his backstory. Is that he was in the Flight Academy in Star Wars, but that's what he originally joins for. But then he gets kicked out, and the next we see him, he's a mud trooper on a planet where they're trying to. How did that guy put it? Create a regime that's loyal to the Empire and hostile.
Really enjoyed, especially coming off watching episode 7. Wait. Yeah, 7.
Mm-hmm.
After knowing the, like, huge Nazi speech that is given, then I'm like, oh, man, this fits perfect. This is great. Like, this is... They did a good job. I know that...
And the Imperial March is like a theme for the Empire.
Yeah, yeah, it was so good. It's pretty good. Perfect.
And he sees a man in battle that he knows is not. I think he picks that up very quickly.
I love it.
This guy's not a military guy.
So good. I love all the little dumb details where they're like, Han Solo can pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Is like he's watching.
He's not stupid.
He's nope. May seem like it, but he isn't.
He has plans that go wrong all the time, but he ain't stupid. And that guy turns out to be Woody Harrelson, who is playing a guy named Beckett.
Tobias Beckett.
Tobias Beckett and Thandi Newton. And Jon Favreau is a four-armed alien.
God dang it. I thought that was him. I didn't look it up. I meant to. And I was like, who's this voice? Dude, that's crazy. Favreau's... He wasn't doing Star Wars. Well, I guess they're ramping up to do Star Wars for him.
They had announced The Mandalorian at this point. Like, that was going to be like, this was right before, this was a year before Disney Plus. This was 2018. And they had.
That seems so long ago. Yeah.
So he had been working on The Mandalorian, and they probably just asked him, hey, you want to come in here real quick and do a voice for this alien? He's like, yeah.
Look, I'm going to go ahead and spot it in here. Jon Favreau. And my brain just died. Who his partner is? David Filoni.
Dave Filoni, yeah.
Those guys should do all of it. Should have done it all. And the Miller brothers should have done this whole series. Should have done the whole all this, yeah.
Well, the big hullabaloo around that is they were doing a lot of improv on set with those two because that's how they work.
You know what? It works.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure they thought, hey, we've got Donald Glover. Let's do some improv.
Yep.
And the big thing that got them fired was Lawrence Kasdan, who is the writer of a lot of Indiana Jones movies and The Empire Strikes Back. In my opinion, he's the one that really created the character of Han Solo and who he is. Yeah. Great writer, but I think he was one of those guys that's like, I wrote the script, you do what I wrote. And he had a lot of juice with Lucasfilm and Disney because he wrote The Force Awakens with JJ and some other stuff.
Yeah, his son wrote this too, right?
Yeah, him and his son wrote this.
Okay, yeah.
And I think the two of them kind of got peeved that they were doing a lot of improv, and it's like,
I get that, but also, like, make the best movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, what you wrote is not going to be what the actor says. Yeah, I don't know. Pretentious writers, I got a problem with. I mean, he wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
There was also some reports that Alden Ehrenreich wasn't prepared for the improv. And, you know, at the time we didn't know who he was, but we do now. He was in Cocaine Bear.
He was in that movie. Holy crap.
So I feel like he knows he can do improv as well, because I'm pretty sure they did improv on that movie.
Well, I know he was there was other stuff in between, but he was coming off Hail Caesar
with
Tarantino. And I like, that's not an improv situation.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. They could have they should have let him cut loose, man.
You're a young actor, you got the big franchise, and it's like, who cares if you want to do a little improv? Let's do it. Maybe we can.
Is he doing anything else? No.
He's doing.
He was an Oppenheimer. Yeah, he was an Oppenheimer.
Yeah. He's still working. Like,
good.
This didn't derail him at all.
No, it shouldn't. Hey, man, that's he did a good job in this. He does a good job.
Period. He's in a Netflix movie that I really need to watch, and I really want to watch. Can't remember the name of it. There are two business, and they're a couple that works in like a financial company.
Fair play.
Yes.
There's a city near me.
And
Fair Play.
She gets the promotion over him, and the relationship gets strained. And it's, I call it, in my head, I call it angry, horny people, is what I would
the exact genre of Fair Play is erotic thriller.
Yeah. So they're angry, horny people.
Anyway. Also, I pulled that out of my head. I want to kill myself.
Good for you. Anyways, I saw you do that. Movie, that was talent.
But yes, yeah, so he's trying to get on Beckett's crew. Beckett,
yes.
He tries to blackmail him. Beckett immediately pulls one over on him.
Mm.
They throw him in with the monster, and you meet Dagum Chubuki.
Which is that's a great way for them to meet. Like,
yep.
No complaints.
You and I had the same discussion, I think, that we could have here of Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Han Solo and Chewbacca coming on to the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them connecting for the first time and like they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best thing in the world.
And
it just,
I would say like my second pitch for this movie would have been that job that they pulled for Jabba the Hutt.
Yes. Yeah, they should have put Jabba the Hutt in this crap, dude. Kill eight. Let Beckett screw him over.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more Han Solo escapades. That's my problem.
You can still have Lando. Like, have Lando be part of the thing.
I don't care about the Kessel Run. Let me see the job.
I really don't. We don't need to see that. I
didn't even know that's what it was.
I don't care how he got his blaster, which they also do in this movie.
Yeah, and that's a pretty sweet blaster, though.
It is. I saw a flask and shot glass that was a mold of that gun one time, and I almost bought it.
I've seen one. There's a liquor store, like a city away, that it's an Indian liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And I only say that because they buy the most absurd things, like AK-47s.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got one. It's the Han Solo one, and it's tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the shoot first
tequila. Mm.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
But I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm.
They get out of their little jail. How does he talk Beckett into picking them up? Like, how does the Chewbacca Solo?
They just run up there and say, hey, and then like John Favreau's character is like, hey,
Wookiees are strong.
Wookiee strong, dude.
Yeah.
So that's how they get on the crew.
I loved it. I loved that Han Solo had a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever got to see that enough to mean anything.
No, we didn't get enough of their relationship.
Oh. No.
That's why I feel like you can start the movie with Hans as a little kid on Corellia. And
someone teach him how to like steal something.
Yeah. And then after his dad dies, he gets hooked up with Beckett in like his teenage years, and then we pick up with them several years later.
Then at the very end, dude, the best thing, and I'm jumping ahead, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
They steal the coaxium. Beckett's not involved.
Yes.
Beckett shows up at the very end when they do it, and then it means something. Beckett's character is utter garbage this entire movie.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. He's great, but he's filler. It doesn't do anything.
For comparison's sake, probably like a Yondu and Star-Lord and Guardians.
Bingo.
Yes.
Except don't let him save him.
Yes.
Let him screw him. Like,
yeah.
Your old bud's showing up. You trust him. Then he... F's you over.
But you still shoot him. You still shoot him in the end. Because we got to get that he shot first moment.
Yeah. That. Okay. And again, like, I don't mean this, but I do. All these Star Wars movies, like, I don't care about these little inside things anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's fanfare.
It's fun.
It is fun, which I'm saying that I'm like, I hate it. But then I'm like, he shot first.
It's like, who cares? You can say he shot first or he didn't. No one cares.
Yeah.
I know this. You don't ask Harrison Ford that because he will.
No, don't.
I don't give a fuck, I think he said one time.
Oh, several.
Just don't ask Harrison Ford Star Wars movies. If you ask him a question, ask him about Indiana Jones. He loves Indiana Jones.
Ask him about being a janitor.
Yeah.
He'd love doing that, too.
Yeah.
Or a contractor, sorry.
He's my favorite old man in Hollywood right now.
It's phenomenal, dude. Did you catch his speech at the Oscars this year?
Mm-mm.
I think it was this year, and I think it was the Oscars, but he's pretty much just like, I'm old. Thank you. he says other stuff, but that's the extent. And it's like, Harrison Ford.
He didn't win one, did he?
It was like a lifetime achievement.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Which makes you feel really weird when it's like, Harrison Ford just got that. That's for old people.
Same thing they did for Sam Jackson last year or the year before. Yeah. They'll do that with Denzel Washington eventually.
Dude, sidebar, have you watched The Equalizer at all?
Yeah.
I watched Equalizer 3 the other week. Mm-hmm. It's great. That whole series is just stupid violence.
That second one I didn't like as much as the first.
No.
The first one is still my favorite.
It is perfect.
That opening scene of the third one.
That's enough to make me say it's the best thing in the world.
That's dope.
It's just bad, dude. This sucker. So,
yeah,
they meet up with who's Paul Bettany? What's his name? I don't remember his character's name is at all.
I couldn't tell you.
I called him Bettany the whole daggum time. I didn't give a crap. Well, I'm gonna ramble here. I do love Paul Bettany. Didn't know that he had facial scars until Ron Howard showed him a picture in post.
They added that in post because of how intense his performance was.
Paul Bettany's a bad dude, man. Anything he's in, he's one of those people where I'm like, I'm in. I like him a lot. I don't care. Doesn't matter at all. Even if it is Inkheart or The Tourist.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think whatever bad movies he's been in, but
So where were we?
They've taken the job. They have the new thing. Han Solo has seen his old girlfriend. She's going to join them on this for some reason, which
because just to keep an eye on them, really.
So dumb.
So they need a ship. Because the one they had blew up on the train heist. That's a good train heist.
I forgot about that train heist. It was awesome. I couldn't believe that was in the first like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the climax of the movie. No, it's not. It's just a setup. A mm-hmm. little teeny setup at that. Yeah. And it was, again, my opinion, that was way better than the later heist.
Yeah. So, than the Kessel Run. So they need a ship, so they of course they go and find the one of the best smugglers in the galaxy, and when you know it, it's Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian playing Sabacc. And we have to have the card game where he tries to win the Falcon in Sabacc, but does not end up doing so.
That whole scene was just fun, man. It was fun to be like, oh, man, I always wanted to see Han Solo and Lando just hang out. That's all I wanted to see.
What's your opinion on L3?
Not needed.
No, yeah. She was just to have a reason for the navigation system in the Falcon.
Like, I know this for a fact. I've talked to people. Let me watch my words. I've seen things. Like, the algorithm for Star Wars is main character, good friend, questionable best friend, droid, always. No matter what, there's always got to be those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of tired of it. Like, I don't need a droid. They just seem stupid. And Lando, you know, I get why he's a weird guy, because he was porking beans in that thing. L3's got a hole that he was into. That's all I got to tell you.
Yeah, he's fucking that robot, dude.
Yeah, 100%. He's got to be. He's got to be, dude. I mean, Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He's fucking a robot. I don't like that. So they get to the...
Preston, how do you think you... Never mind.
They get to the spice mines of Kessel, which, as we all know, it's another thing that George Lucas stole from Dune was spice. Like, he literally took it and didn't even try to change it.
Didn't even try at all.
I'm just going to call it spice. Who cares?
Yeah, spice works. It's cool. Yeah. Spice girls, spice boys, we got it, spice.
Yeah. They go there because they have a bunch of unrefined coaxium, and they need a lot of coaxium because Beckett owned old Dryden Voss, that's his name, owed him, Paul Bettany's character, they owed him a lot of coaxium, which was what was on that train.
There we go. Okay.
I brought it back full circle.
Now it's clicking completely. Yeah. Bingo. Thank you. Ugh, I was trying to figure out before we got on this call, like, how did all that stuff connect? I couldn't place it, but well, guess what? The whole smuggling thing goes terrible. L3 gets blown up.
Sure does.
I'm gonna be honest with you, a lot of the action in this movie I didn't care about.
Yeah, I mean, there was some good moments where, you know, there's
like, the mine when they're going to go do the, like, steal the coaxium.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
Which I hate. Yeah, I've already blanked it out. It's like, what happened? I don't really remember.
There's that pretty, it's kind of cool, where they're loading the coaxium and Han's walking up and Donald Glover tosses him the blaster and they both, that's a pretty good shot.
But they get in the Falcon then and run away.
Uh-huh.
And you and do get one of the best shots in the world.
That thing's deteriorating, that coaxium.
I'm a big fan of, hey, look, ticking tock. Ticking tock clock is what I was going to say.
Ticking clock.
What a great plot device. Mm-hmm. It's not lame. Hey, we got to get this stuff going. And they run into a daggum Imperial.
Sure do.
And I just love, I love it so much. Because I feel like later in life he's a little more accurate. But Han Solo is just this cocky... Yeah, they won't follow us. I got a good feeling about this.
What do they care about a little a freighter?
Nope. Backfire, baby.
And that's when he drives into the storm that surrounds Kessel. That's the name of it. Because it's the Kessel Run.
I'm sorry, I should look it up. I'm just going to ask, where are we at in the post-Quill trilogy?
This is like a few years before A New Hope.
Oh, no. Sorry. Our time. And movies that have come out.
Oh, this was...
Force Awakens has come out.
We had Force Awakens, then we had Rogue One, then we had... This was right after Last Jedi. This was...
Okay, there's a shot in this. So I think I told you, Last Jedi, clearly I didn't care for it. Mm. It was fine. But there's a frame... The ship going through light speed through that entire thing is the greatest thing I've ever seen. There's a moment in this movie where they do the same thing.
With that, the Star Destroyer?
No. It's right after that. It's got to be, like, they had to do it on purpose. Or no, like, we had this effect. Also, I love that we still have blue and red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accidental.
We never coordinate our lights. We just do it.
Yeah, we're not that cool. You want to do yellow next week?
Yeah, sure. Anyway. Let's do it.
Okay. It's when he's leaving the hole, the Kessel hole, whatever they're in.
Yeah.
And the walls are folding in, and he hits light speed. It's the same thing. And I laugh that it's like, you hit light speed, we're going to freeze frame this for a second and get you a black and white, and then you're gone. But that was great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just bypassed so much stuff. I'm sorry.
Well, it's they use the, because like this, the Falcon looks completely different in this movie.
Yeah, they plug L3's wiener into the navigation system because they cut it off, and then that wiener grows navigation balls.
There's an escape hatch. There's what do you call that? Escape vessel, life raft, whatever you call it.
Escape hatch. Yeah, that works.
Escape pod.
Yeah. That's what they call it. Yeah, yeah.
They shoot that into this maw, and then they have to drop some coaxium to boost the engine out to get out of this maw and to the place where they need to. It's whatever.
I worked with a guy when this came out, who I still talk to all the time. He's awesome. And he goes, yeah, I love that movie, man. You ever spit gasoline into your engine? Man, what?
They did in Mad Max.
And he said, yeah, dude. He said, you ever seen that movie Mad Max 2? This was not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. And he went, that's real. You can do that. I've done it. He said, I was on a Baja run, and I had to get my engine started, so I was just spitting gasoline in my engine. Oh, you're more of a man than I'll ever be.
Yeah.
So
they make it to the place with the coaxium, and then the people that attacked them earlier on the train, the Infus Nest. And
was it the same people, the Marauders?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't get that. I don't know. The first time, I've only seen this twice now, and I assumed it had to be the same people, I think. But that makes more sense now. Like, are they following them then?
It's like the begin. It's like, they had a tracker on them.
Okay.
It's like the somewhat beginning of the rebellion. It's a group of people that are starting a rebellion.
Preston, give me an original story. I could give a crap about the rebellion.
We know that the rebellion is coming. We've seen Star Wars.
Just let me watch this dude be a crusty, creepy guy being a schiz. I mean, whoa, I don't know what I was about to say, but I caught it.
So these rebels are like, give us the coaxium so we can start a rebellion, blah, blah, blah. And this is where the movie just kind of falls off a cliff a little bit for me.
I feel like this is where Ron Howard started really intervening.
Yeah, it's like there's double cross on double cross on not betrayal.
And the best thing is that it looks like a double cross happening here. It was a double cross.
And then it wasn't. And then it is. And like,
this is the point. The first time I saw this, I went, oh, they did all this dumb bull crap to show Darth Maul.
Yeah.
A bad CGI Darth Maul, in my
opinion. I feel like something like that was a part of the script the whole time.
It was. They should have had him in it.
Yeah, he should have at least showed up. Thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, give us Ray Park with, which is, that's what it was. It was Ray Park's body with Sam Witwer's voice,
dude,
from the Clone Wars.
Both those guys. That's the best. Sam Witwer, oh man, like, dude, I don't know. Now this is where I'm frustrated. Not, I don't know. Try not to be a big nerd. You had opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take it. You had this stupid. So to get to Darth Maul, like you said, there's backstab on backstab. Han Solo decides, I have a plan. We're going to give this to the Rebellion. Beckett says, I'm out of here, kid. Of course, where's he going to go? He doesn't have a ship. He just walks 500 feet, then walks.
Right.
Yeah. So they have this awesome plan. Guess what? It doesn't pan out. But in the meantime, Emily Clark kills... I love that I can't remember characters' names, so I'm just going to intermean their actor name. No spoiler for anyone listening, if you're following along with it. I'm an idiot. Emily Clark kills Paul Bettany.
Mm-hmm. Right in the chest. Stab him right in
Why?
The chest.
Why? Is it because she wants to be in charge or because she loves Han?
Who knows, dude?
That's my problem. It's like, you introduced this mess. Mm-hmm. You didn't resolve it. She's never showing up again.
Didn't resolve it in a coherent way. Nobody really cared about this movie, so we will never know how Darth Maul became the head of Crimson Dawn.
Also, what a shame. I feel like you had opportunity to have a trilogy from this.
And I tell you what, just give us a Darth Maul movie.
Preston, why haven't they given us a villain movie?
Just do that.
How rad that... Like, Darth Maul gets cut in half. The movie starts. He gets back together. go.
Yeah.
Or how perfect that'd be.
Or just like the day that, or, you know, like, again, you can start the movie in like his childhood or before he gets picked up by Darth Sidious. Show us why he was that imposing apprentice in The Phantom Menace.
I don't think I'm breaking any kind of legal stuff. Yeah, no, I'm not. Sorry. There were plans at some point in times to do a reversal of every movie. So the first trilogy, it's all from Darth Vader.
That would be cool.
The prequels, all from Darth Maul and different people there.
No, he dies
in the first movie.
Well, he dies in Rebels.
He dies.
Yeah.
All right. But we were going to redo these movies from the villain perspective. Yeah. So you see Darth Vader the whole time, and it makes Darth Vader not seem like a. I mean, he's a villain, but, you know, with him, you understand. And I'm like, why didn't y'all do that? Why didn't you do that crap?
Because they're scared. Like, it's
yeah. Yeah,
Kathleen nobody wants Kennedy. To tell a good story.
No, Kathleen, that's what story.
I give it a 7.
Yeah,
I feel like it should have been mid budget. Again, that's what we are.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Like, if you had less money, you'd have made a better movie.
Yeah, like technology has accelerated so much. Like how like. You can do a mid-budget Star Wars movie and still have CGI that looks like that, I feel like.
I haven't watched Andor still. Mm-hmm. But the episodes I watched, there's not a lot of
stuff. No.
And it was great.
And when it's there, like with the TIE Fighters or Star Destroyers, looks amazing.
I do love in this movie, we end with Han's going to go work for Jabba the Hutt.
Like, yeah, that's pretty great.
Great setup, but you know what was a better movie? All the jobs he did for Jabba the Hutt. Don't do this bull crap.
Anyway. Mm. Now we, as we always do, we move on to what we watch and read and play and all that stuff.
Preston, I'm watching my existence diminish into nothing but hell as I watch
you're not the only one.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Are you like all those people, like when Elmo tweeted, hey, how's everybody doing? And then everybody dumped all their problems on Elmo.
Dude, that was so freaking funny. No, that's hilarious. I'm a man. I don't tell people my crap. But I did love watching Larry David choke him out on Good Morning America or whatever.
He choked out Elmo?
Yes.
That's hilarious. It's awesome.
Dude, you got to look it up. It's Larry David to a T. Afterwards, they're like, Larry, apologize from the bottom of your heart. And he goes, huh? What organ are you talking about? I don't have one of those. I'm not really watching anything, man. I guess I'm watching Atlanta, as previously mentioned, finishing that off.
Yeah.
Watching Justified.
Mm.
I'm getting close to finishing it, which that thing starts off so awesome, then it gets stupid.
I tried to watch that and it just felt too procedural to me.
It is. But don't watch it. I'm gonna finish it because I'm so far. It's not worth it. Don't ever.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I think that's it. It's kind of sad. We haven't recorded in like a month.
Yeah.
And it's been like a dry spell of what's going on.
So. I'm gonna start. Heroes showed up on Prime Video the other day.
Have you ever watched it?
I haven't watched it in like 5 or 6 years, so I'm going to rewatch it. Like, I remember that first season being like really good.
Curious of your take, dude. I rewatched it 2 years ago.
I think that was one of the shows that got caught up in that first writer's strike in the early 2000s. So
yeah, they rushed a ton of stuff and made it garbage, just like Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there was, you know, we have better television now where we're not beholden to fall TV schedules and nothing really got ruined from this last writer's strike. They didn't rush anything out.
I know you're not a fan, so I'll say it with caution. I just want Stranger Things end. I don't care if it's good. I just want it to end.
Oh, no, I'm a fan of Stranger Things. Like, I'm looking forward to the end, too. Yeah.
I don't know why. I thought you hated it.
No.
That's someone else then, man. Sorry. Well, in that case, yeah. I'm like, let me see the end of this.
I feel like they had a chance for there to be an end, you know?
Oh, they did. They did, but they also, season two, they said 5 seasons, we have a full story.
I do remember that, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I respect that. Like, you had...
Well, you're going to have to do it when these kids are in college, because that's basically the age they're all at now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all freaking weirdo sociopaths.
Especially, what's her name? Muggy Buggy Millie Bobby Brown?
Oh, man, big old brown girl.
That girl has nothing but a hard time ahead of her, because she got famous at 16, and that's all she's going to know for a long time. And
yeah, and you know what?
I don't see that ending well.
Nope, I don't. Thank you. You just saved me from what I was about to say.
We're going to hear some crazy story about her when she's in her like 20s and 30s, and it's not going to be good.
Hey,
anyway.
Hey, football's coming up. Who's going to win that sports, man?
Well, the last time there was a Shanahan coaching a football team in the Super Bowl, there was a McCaffrey on the team. So I think the 49ers are going to win.
Is that who's playing?
Yeah, 49ers and the Chiefs.
Oh, Taylor Swift is going to be there.
Yeah. Did you see where the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo put out a thing to the Swifties saying that, yes, she will make it to the Super Bowl on time because she has a concert in Japan?
Yeah.
I'm like, is that where we're at? Like, I can appreciate who she is as like a business person and an artist for owning all of her stuff. Like, she took control of all of her stuff. Love the way she operates and treats her people that work for her. But that's a little stupid.
I don't mind Taylor Swift. I really don't.
I'm not mad that they're in a relationship and that she's at all the games. Because guess what? When your significant other's playing a football game, you kind of want to be there.
You know what I hate? Swifties.
Yes. All that's what makes it the worst.
I don't care. By the way, we're gonna get murdered.
But she's not doing any of this. That's the thing. The two of them are not doing any of this. It's people.
She's in the top 5 concert I've ever been to.
I bet she puts on a great show. Like, her stuff is not for me, but
it's not really. Some of it I do like 2-3 things. Mm. Songs.
Yeah.
It was so entertaining. I mean, I was blown away. Like, wow, I actually had fun. This was weird.
One of my favorite musical artists, Rustin Kelly, he did this album called Dirtbag Emo, where he redid a bunch of emo songs. And one of them was called All Too Well. And I was like, I wonder if he wrote this. This is really good. Like, what is this? That's a Taylor Swift song.
Dude, I didn't know that guy's name. I know that album. I didn't know who that was.
Dirtbag Emo Volume 1 or something like that.
Doesn't he does a teenage dirtbag in that, mm-hmm. too, doesn't he?
He does two versions.
Full circle. Started this thing out with teenage dirtbag reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good album, dude. I didn't know he was. He was like, "Damn it, Helena,
uh-huh.
At Your Funeral's in there too," which is Saves the Day, which is one of my favorite bands. Yeah, that's a good CD. And he's got Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah,
the first track. Yeah,
that's a great his version. Like, he's got he's got them on the song. Like, the lead singer does the chorus in that song, and it's that version of it is amazing.
Sorry, I know we're wrapping up, but like that. Dashboard Confessional, that band, the first time I heard it, it was like, I can play guitar like this. Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, it changed everything. So.
All right. That's it for this week.
Rogue One next week, eh?
Yeah. I like to do timeline order instead of release order.
Yeah. I like to do the new order where... Man, that joke just died. My brain ripped. I'm so tired, man. I've talked to so many people today. I'm still brain dead. I'm sorry, ma'am. A month off, my brain's not working still.
So if you want to reach the show, you can do that at secondtakemoviespod@gmail.com with any suggestions, comments, concerns, whatever. You can do the same thing on Instagram at secondtakemovies. Tell us whatever you want. Subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe to the audio feed. Need to bump up that audio feed numbers. Like, YouTube does pretty good, but we need to up those audio listens over there.
Yeah. If you bump it up. That had a good joke. Damn, just, it died again, man.
Just put the video on YouTube, mute that, turn on the audio on a podcast app, and just try to sync it up that way.
Yeah, you know what? We'll clap more. We should clap on the video more to really line that up. That's too many claps. Hey, watch this till the end.
Clap.
Line it up. Go back. Listen. Yeah. Watch. Done.
All right. Like I said, next week is Rogue One. Jake, you got anything else you want?
It's 2024.
Is it a crap your pants kind of year? Or is it something else? We're doing something else this year?
I think this kind of year, you get some industrial zip ties.
Yeah.
You strap them around your pants.
Uh-huh.
You crap. You load them up. You sit down.
Load them up, and then you sit in them. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll see you next week with Rogue One.